hear from St. John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Your fellow redeemed in Christ, isn't it interesting that here, just a few days before finals week, before semester judgment day, the chaplain wants me to speak to you about heaven, about our true and eternal happy home? I would suggest to you that Chaplain Molstead knows what you students are going through right now, as do the rest of the administration, staff, and faculty. You are not alone during these days, as much as you might think you are, in the wee hours of the morning, feverishly trying to finish a term paper or cram just a few more facts into your brain that is racing along on yet another can of Red Bull. What you may be experiencing right now are some of the burdens of your vocation as student. You know there are crosses, not just upcoming finals, but all the other debris that piles up in your lives through the months of dorm life, of commuting, of being away from family, of anticipating saying goodbye to good friends. This is when you start wondering about the use or the abuse of time over the past weeks and months. There's lots of stress, lots of anxiety, also a sense that it's almost over. One more week, probably less than that for most of you, 6 days, 5 days, but still work to be done. Into your vocation as student, as well as each vocation into which you have been put, in family, in work, in community, and so on, into each of these comes this message from Jesus, from the one who goes the way of the cross, the way of death for each and every one of us. On the night in which he would be betrayed, Jesus takes the time, hours, to spend with his disciples, the men whom he would shortly leave to go his lonely way of shame, humiliation, degradation, crucifixion. Yet Jesus is not thinking about himself here. He is thinking about, and later praying for, these men burdened with great uncertainty, anxious about a future without Jesus, who says he's leaving, worried about life, about their commitment to Jesus, about how they will cope when he is no longer with them in the way to which they've become accustomed over the past few years. They can think back and they can remember that when death came near, there was Jesus with them, speaking to the dead and bringing life. When storms came near, there was Jesus calmly sleeping, then awaking and rebuking the wind and waves, and there was peace. Jesus always had the right words for the Pharisees. They didn't even know how to respond to him anymore. The presence of Jesus, close, right there, comforted and encouraged these men. But now the time was coming when that particular mode of presence would be gone. So Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus and the Father are one. And the house of the Father, heaven, the place of eternal life with the triune God, that is ready for the disciples. Jesus would make sure of that. They need not doubt. They need not be troubled. Even though he will leave for a little while, he will come again and bring them to where he is, that where I am, there you may be also. That is the promise of the Son of God for those troubled souls on that dark and lonely night. He would not forget them, even though they would all desert him, leaving him alone and circled by the bulls of Bashan, as Psalm 22 puts it, the power of the dog, the horns of the oxen, the lion's mouth. On that night, Thursday into Good Friday, a night when hell and devil and death surround him, Jesus would not turn away, but face all these enemies of his people. He would not turn from this way, this path, but go through it, go through death, and arise victorious on the third day. But like Thomas here, we who have heard the promises of Jesus, who know the facts of his life and death and resurrection, we still will be confronted with our crosses when our burdens seem intolerable, when life seems pointless, when the future has nothing but more questions and more doubts. Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? How indeed? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Some are offended when the Christian church speaks in such exclusive terms regarding the only way of salvation. Some believe it is better to leave the door open for other possibilities of reaching that eternal home of heaven. Shouldn't we be more tolerant of other ways, other truths, other ways to that life? To which Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is not a way, but the way, the same with truth and life. That is what we confess, that is what we believe, that is what we teach here at Bethany Lutheran College, not because this is something we dreamed up on our own. These words compel us, clear words, certain words. They say the same thing as our motto, one thing needful. That is what we want you to take with you, no matter what other skills and abilities and gifts you've developed and strengthened during your time here. Life has many crosses. You know some of them in college. You've known others before you ever got here. You'll have others to come. But of them all, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." To believe in Jesus is to have the life. It is to have the truth. It is to have the way. He is the way to life eternal, to heaven and all its joys. No one else. God help you all in the coming days and years to keep these words of Jesus in your hearts and minds. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The place is ready, for Jesus died and rose again for you. And he will receive you to himself to be with him, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may rise. We include in our prayers this morning Marie Cradaville, the grandmother of Haley Lunston, who is battling pancreatic cancer in these her final days. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we approach your throne through the merits of your Son and ask that you would be with your child, Marie, and the members of her family in these difficult days. By your word, strengthen her with a confident faith to cling to your grace and give her the assurance of an eternal home prepared for her. If it is your will, relieve her of pain and grant her the peace which you alone can give. We ask it all in the name of Christ, our risen Redeemer. Amen. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, you've given us your holy word and have bountifully provided for all our earthly needs. We confess that we are unworthy of all these mercies and that we have rather deserved punishment. But we beseech you, forgive us our sins and prosper and bless us in our various callings, that by your strength we may be sustained and defended now and forever, and so praise and glorify you eternally. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.